Our scripture passage this morning is James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24. James chapter 2, 14 through 24. Let us hear God's word. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." You believe that there is one God? That's good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We lift up our petition to you, asking that you would open up our eyes and open up our hearts to receive your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Last several weeks, we have looked at Abraham as we are studying the book of Genesis. And we have looked at God's promises to Abraham. But let me remind you that these promises are divinely initiated by God. God assumes the responsibility of bringing forth all of these promises. You need to understand and remember that Abraham was a pagan. He was not a good-going ARP to church. No, he was a pagan. Yahweh was only but one of all the different gods that Abram worshipped. His wife, Sarai, she was named after the moon goddess until God changed her name to Sarah. So we need to remember that Abraham is a pagan, and that there was no righteousness or goodness, nor anything in Abraham for God, for him to be commended to God. God chose Abram, but for no reason found in Abram. God chose Abram because it pleased God, solely because it pleased God to deliver Abram from his sin and to draw him into the kingdom of God. Abram is saved by grace and grace alone. And here's another thing I said several weeks ago. You, too, are saved by grace. Grace alone. You, too, were worshiping false gods. You, too, were just like Abram. Just like him. God changed his heart. God changed your heart. From all eternity, this just should blow your mind. From all eternity, it pleases God for you to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Let me say it again. From all eternity, meaning there was never a moment that this was not the case. Even before you were born, your name was written in the book of life. And it pleased God. It pleased God for Him to shed His love upon you so that you would glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. We could end right there, and that would be a great sermon. Yet God's sovereign election in the choosing of Abram does not mean that Abram has no responsibility. Once Abram was regenerated and born again, then Abram begins to set his heart upon the kingdom of God. In just this small sentence, "So Abram left as the Lord had told him to." Verse 4, "So Abram left as the Lord had commanded him." The doctrine of predestination does not negate human responsibility. Though God chooses Abram and God regenerates Abram, yet God lays upon Abram responsibility. Paul, the Apostle Paul, lays this out very clear in his letter to the Philippians. He says in chapter 1, verse 6, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." See, he's talking about the work of God. The work of God previous to your faith. God began the good work in you, and He is going to bring it to completion. And then a little bit later in his letter to the Philippians, Paul says this, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Paul's very clear. God began a good work in you, and God is going to continue that good work. But part of that continuous good work is that God is going to work in you, that you're going to do good work. You are going to make your calling and election sure. Whole book of Ephesians. This is the pattern that we find there. Ephesians 1 and 2 tells us that Christians are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight. But then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, we are told that we must live by faith. So the scriptures affirm that God will choose whom He will have mercy upon. But those He has mercies upon will be just like this. Listen, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the grace of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." See, this is what God's done for you. And then He says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's talking to you. God has got good works planned for you to do. So it is with Abram. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, We see God's initiation, but then in verses 4 through 9, we see Abram's response. And it is a response of faith. Abram left as God had commanded him. Point's very clear. Abram went as an act of faith, an act of love to God. There's a story that Jesus tells of two brothers. And the father tells them both, go to the fields and work today. One brother says, I'll go. I'm going to do it. I love my dad. I love my God. I'm going to go to the fields and do what my dad says to do. And then the scriptures add, but he didn't go. And then we're confronted with the other brother. The father says, go to the fields and work. The other brother goes, I ain't doing that. I ain't going to miss the football game. Somebody else can do that. But then the Holy Spirit adds, but then he got up and went. And so Jesus asks the question, which one of these brothers actually showed love to God and to the Father? And Jesus answers, surely it was the one who obeyed. Jesus, when he was confronted with the cross, did not say, oh, I'll go to the cross, but then when the time came, he said, better not, I got other things to do. No. When the fullness of time came, and it was time for Jesus to take on the cross, the scriptures say he turned his face towards Jerusalem, and he went. And he went knowing that where he was going, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be tortured, he will be killed. The Apostle James puts it this way, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, obey God's word. The writer to the Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later inherit, he obeyed and he went. The Apostle James again says this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. James uses the faith of Abraham as an example of true faith. James says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is dead? Was not Abram considered righteous for what he did? You see, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Thus we see from the life of Abraham what true faith is. True faith is receiving the word of God and then doing what it says. Not saying, oh, I'll go to the field, but then not going, but one who goes to the field to work. Can you imagine in a football game, you know, the offensive line, and you got the center here, and then the guard and the tackle, and they all line up for the next play, and the next play happens. The center centers the ball to the quarterback, and everybody is doing their respective responsibilities. This guy's going over here to block. This guy's going over here to block. But then there's one guy. He's going to sit down, read the newspaper, but then wants to be proclaimed as an all-star football player. See, we would laugh at that, would we not? Because we know it's not true. How can it be true when you're not doing what you are called to do? See, this is the issue. The issue is not, do you believe in Jesus? That's not the issue. The issue is, do you believe Jesus? James goes on to write about Satan and the demons, and he says, you say you believe in God? Even evil people believe in a God. Even Satan believes in God. Satan knows who Jesus is better than you do. But Satan doesn't obey. He does not obey because he does not love Christ. Yeah, but preacher, you know, sometimes I try to live the Christian life and I fall into sin over and over and over again. And each time I ask God to forgive me, my response is, what's the big deal? Asking for forgiveness is part of living in obedience to Christ. You see it as you're not being obedient. Christ says, when you ask for forgiveness, you are being obedient because God the Father will forgive you, not just 7 times, but 70 times 70 times 70. Asking for forgiveness is part of living in obedience to Christ. The scriptures say that when God called Abram, Abram left as the Lord had told him. Leave this place and go to the place I will show you. Did Abram have any clue where he was going? I'm going to deal with that next week. No, he didn't have a clue. But he knew whom he could believe in. And he knew that Christ would not lie to him or deceive him. And so he left to go to the place that God would ultimately show him. Abram, he trusted. His trust was shown in his obedience. Trust and obey. Because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus except to do what? Trust and obey. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ, for his faithfulness. We thank you for your effectual calling of us to draw you, draw us into your kingdom. And we even thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good deeds that you have us to do. We pray that through the grace of God, we would be faithful, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our worship this morning as we stand and sing hymn number 672. 672, Trust and Obey.